Recordings are started.
Great. Thanks, Christine. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 2nd of May, 2017. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, if you could please let yourself be known now. Hearing no names, I would also like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to Jeff Newman.
Thanks, Michelle, and welcome everyone to this call at 0300 UTC time on May 2nd, 2017. For some of us, it's still the end of May 1st, and for others, it's very early on May 2nd. So we have an agenda that's up there right now. So we'll go over the agenda, then take statements of interest, changes. I'm going to just do a very high-level work track update just on the meetings that we have over the next week without full updates. And but the primary purpose of this call really is to finalize, do our second reading and finalize the our response to the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review Team report, and then a quick update on drafting teams. With that, does anyone have any other business they'd like to add or any other topics they want to add to the agenda at this point? Okay, seeing none, and hopefully you all can hear me. I will issue a call out. Is there any changes to statements of interest? Okay. Seeing none and hearing no one from the phone, we can go on, which is just a work track update. So this week we have calls work track 3 and work track 4. The next week, just to remind everyone, we are not scheduling any calls. There are no calls from this group that's scheduled because of the GDD summit that's going on next week. So many people will be out of town attending that or following that remotely. So no calls from this working group or any of the work tracks. Any questions on that? Okay, so we follow up the week after with a full working group call and then back to tracks 1 and 2. You should have already received invitations for those meetings. If you have not, please let staff, Emily, Julie, or Steve know, and we can make sure the invites are sent out. So with that, any questions? Okay, seeing none, if we could bring up the response, and you are all anticipating me already. So this is our second reading of the responses, which, as most of you know, required to, from our rules we set up initially for ourselves, is to read through all of our responses twice. We've had a number of people come into the document and make a number of people have made comments, and we've tried to incorporate all of those in the document itself. For anyone that if you feel like we have not addressed those issues, you can let us know. But until then, we're going to go through each of the places where comments were made. I'm going to skip the sections that do not have any comments. So if you do have any comments on any of the sections that I skipped, just feel free to raise your hand or interrupt so we can cover those sections. So my assumption is that for those with no comments, there are no comments to be made. So the first set of comments are on the high-level feedback. These are changes that we made pursuant to the last call. that we had on this. So you'll see that we have changed certain terms in there so that we're saying things like inconsistent as opposed to the other term that was in there right now, which I just lost. But we have also took up a sentence that seemed to give the that we were being very deferential to this group or unnecessarily deferential to this group. So the changes you see right now is trying to take away that the fact that we are fairly reliant on the work of this group, but certainly will incorporate the insight from this group into our work. So are there any questions? I'm going now because it's kind of hard to see the comments. Oh, I can't staff. I'm going to go to my own copy of this, and if there's any one in the chat room or the comments, just flag it for me so I make sure I get to it. So one of the paragraphs that we added, you'll see, is that we talked about the time frame. So members of the CCTRT explained that high priority items target an 18-month time frame, and recommendations 33 through 36 have been assigned a high priority level. If data collection directives are targeted at the ICANN organization, it may not be feasible from a timing perspective for ICANN to complete the data collection and share it with the working group for analysis and action before the working group concludes. So we added that in response to previously it was basically the same response for a number of those questions. And so we put that concept into the high level overview so that it could be seen up front. I just get dropped. Can you all hear me?
I can on the phone line, Jeff, yes.
I think I got dropped. Okay, great. Sorry, I couldn't hear anyone. Cool. Anne, sorry. Thank you for raising your hand. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise for the transcript. I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm not quite sure where you are. I'm looking at red language in the middle of the page on the slide that we're showing here. And I don't know if you already got past that red language, or can I make a comment regarding the red language?
Yes, please. I think everyone's got control over the document. So I was going through the section on high-level feedback, and yes, please, make any comments.
Yeah, it was just a really minor comment, Jeff, regarding the
Steve,
use of the word.
Also, sorry, Anne, are you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. It was a very minor comment.
Anne, regarding... I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. We seem to be sort of talking over each other. But this was a really minor comment regarding the word insight. Which doesn't read quite right to me. It says, what may provide additional clarity is to incorporate insight into the report about procedural elements. I don't know if that's insight into the report or if it's more, you know, assumptions. About procedural elements, or if it's conclusions or insight, doesn't seem, you know, like what we're really talking about. Incorporate procedural elements into the report, maybe even better. I don't know. It just doesn't strike me as insight. I was just curious about the use of that word.
Yeah, thanks. Steve has mentioned in the comments, what about changing that word to detail?
Yeah, that, I like that. I like that, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Ann. We'll make that change. It seems like we have a big lag time between when I'm being heard and when you're responding, so I'm not sure what that is. I'm hoping it's not lag time for everyone, but let me know if I should get a dial out instead. Steve, your hands raised.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm on a dial out. I don't know if they want to try it again or what. Did I hang up?
Okay, thanks. Michelle, can you work with Ann on that?
Yes.
No, you're still on.
Yes.
Thanks, Michelle. All right, Steve, you have your hand raised.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve Chan from staff. I had just a question or suggestion maybe in that as we go through this document, we generally have the documents unsynced, but today it might be helpful to keep it synced. I was just curious if there are people on the call that think it might be better to make sure that we're all in the same section together. Thanks.
Sure, Steve. We can. Why don't we try it synced and. Or actually, why don't we leave it unsynced the way it is? I'll try to be clear in where I am. But if that doesn't work, then we'll try it your way. I know people like to scroll through and get some context and read before it or after it. So I will try to be clear. And if I'm not, let me know if I should be somewhere else. That said, I think we are now on recommendation. Number 10, and if you're not speaking, if you could just remember to mute your phones. So in recommendation 10, this seems to. No? Okay. For recommendation 10, this one seems to generate a bunch of comments. It wasn't very clear from our discussion what we were responding to, and so I went back and just made sure I read the full, which is around page 55, 56 of the CCT review team report. And apparently I'm cutting out. So let me see if I could dial in if you give me 1 second. Steve, can you just take over the beginning of of recommendation 10 and I will dial in?
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve Chan from staff. The issues that were identified were around the clarity related to the issue of cost. So you can see the new wording here. Part of it was to note that one thing they did not seem to highlight is, or I guess what they, the question of this working group was why the focus was on a small number of brands registering a large number of domains. And I think the working group was also curious to that extent whether or not that might be taken as a positive sign that the majority of brand owners are therefore not currently registering many of their names defensively, or whether or not that was considered. So those two points were attempted to be captured in this updated language. Are there any thoughts, concerns about the language that's here now? Ann, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Steve. It's Ann for the transcript. I'm trying to figure out when we say here in the red language, brand owners are not currently registering many of their names defensively. Are we speaking about Sunrise? Or are we speaking about at all? And how would we know? Are we speaking of registration of the domain names, or are we speaking of validation in the trademark clearinghouse, or what is actually meant by the red language?
Thanks, Anne. This is Steve again from staff. Hopefully you can hear my getting some indication that my audio is not good. Hopefully you can hear me a little bit better now. I'm holding the phone right to my face. If I recall, some of the statistics that I believe it was Buchanan has shared about this issue, I believe they said something to the effect of an average of 3 names have been registered by brand owners. I don't know if that statistic's exactly correct. But I think the point is that the element that they're focusing on is a small number of brand owners are choosing to register a lot of domains. And so I think part of what we want to focus on is why that might be the case.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up, Steve, and this is Anne again. Your use of the word register relates to rights protection mechanisms or relates to defensive registrations, period, outside of rights protection mechanisms? Because this seems to be, when you use the number 3, are you speaking of in the context, because that's not a believable number for me at all in relation to defensive domain name registrations in the whole, you know, domain name registration world. That number isn't anywhere near believable to me. When you're talking about 3, it sounds to me like you may be talking about in the context of RPMs and Sunrise and the Trademark Clearinghouse. If so, this red language should be modified to state that you're talking about, you know, the Trademark Clearinghouse supported registrations or whatever they are, to say that brand owners aren't registering domain names defensively, that's just way counter to what's actually going on. If we're talking about rights protection mechanisms, maybe yes.
All right, and this is Jeff. So I'll just jump in. Hopefully you guys could hear me better.
Thanks, Jeff.
So what this section says in the report is that, or essentially what they did, is the CCTRT got a certain sample size of trademark owners from the Trademark Clearinghouse, and they measured they took a sample group of those trademark owners and which domains or new TLDs that they actually registered in, not necessarily in Sunrise or in a rights protection mechanism, but just as of the date that they checked the new TLDs. And what they found is that, in general, there were not as many defensive registrations in the TLDs themselves, in the new TLDs, that they thought that they would find. So they did not make any conclusions on that other than to say that they did find in their sample size 4% of the trademarks were trademark owners registered in over 100 of the new GTLDs. So what this recommendation says essentially is, without defining what are costs, which we bring up later in this comment, it said that our working group may want to consider how to reduce the costs
costs. Again, no explanation of what that means. To reduce the costs for this small percentage of trademarks that were registered in at least 100 TLDs. And, in fact, one of them they found was registered in 406 new GTLDs. So that's their recommendation, is to consider ways in which costs for those 4%, essentially, could be reduced. And so I'm not sure why the sentence was added in about this seems to indicate that the majority of brand owners are not currently registering many of their brands defensively. I'm not sure that's what they're saying, but I'm not sure that that's necessarily appropriate for our response back, because we're not trying to comment substantively on it. But one thing that I put in into a comment, unfortunately it's labeled anonymous. I'm not sure why my comment was labeled anonymous, but I tried to make it clear with the reference to Jeff N. I'm not sure why, whether they think this is a real problem, whether they think that, you know, what do they mean by significant costs? There seems to be an assumption that because there are a few trademark owners that register in hundreds of TLDs, that that's a problem we need to solve. But I'm not necessarily convinced yet that why they've necessarily found that to be a problem. So, you know, one of the things we can ask for clarification is, you know, why does that seem like a problem from the program standpoint as opposed to a problem that, you know, maybe this 4% of trademark owners are ones that have to be in every TLD because that's their strategy. There may be nothing we can do or should do about that. But they really kind of jump to a conclusion that costs need to be reduced based on a small sample size. Anne, please.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. I don't know where the red language came from. I know that, and maybe somebody's trying to say, well, hey, can we reduce costs for this? But, for example, you talk about there are hundreds of new GTLDs. Hey, not all of those are relevant to any particular brand. I mean, when we start talking about, you know, percentage registrations, this red language is pretty misleading, and I agree with you that it's an inference that it's really not part of our comment on the – I think it either, you know – It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Anne, this is Jeff again. I kind of agree with the fact that we should delete that language. I believe it was Greg that made the comment, so we might just want to go back as an action. I have to go back to Greg and see if this is what he meant. But my recommendation would be to take that. Oh, Greg's here. Sorry, Greg, I didn't see you. Please, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry, I joined a little late, but I do have a sense of what we're talking about here. And I think the red language has nothing to do with what I was trying to say. It seemed to that the recommendation asserted that there were a small number of brands registering a large number of domains. In other words, that by and large, this was somehow being monopolized by a few brands that were registering in each in many domains, or registering in many domains across many new TLDs, which seemed to me to be based on absolutely no facts that I'm aware of. So I think the language that's kind of in gold makes somewhat more sense. It really just asks why it makes this specific reference and how this fits into the analysis. I think it says that there are a small number of trademark strings. I see what it says now in the the margins, but that doesn't mean that it's limited to a small number of brands that are registering in a large number. There are also a large number of brands that are registering in a medium or small number of domains. So I'm not quite sure where this is going. I think the overall issue of reducing defensive registration doesn't have anything necessarily to do with how many domains a particular brand is registering. It just seems to be, I mean, I suppose at the end, it's prohibitive for any company to register more than it wants to, solely because it believes it needs to protect its interests, not because it wants to own domains. It seems to be an odd phrasing, and I'm not quite sure, what kind of value judgments are behind it. It just, maybe its heart is in the right place, at least from where I come from, but it's just hard to kind of figure out why anything, why it should be even asking anything other than whether the costs relating to defensive registrations can be reduced, without making any characterizations as to who the registrants are, and how many each one is registering. But I think this is an issue across the board. Thanks. I don't know if that helped. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Greg. I think if we take out that the red language in that section, we kind of make the gold language a little bit more clear. I think that might address the situation. But I agree with you as well as to I think what they're doing. And again, they didn't really do a good job documenting this in the report, but it seems to me that they were taking some of the statements that were made prior to the opening up of the round, that trademark owners were going to spend billions of dollars in defensive registrations, and trying to address that in some way in the section, but they didn't do such a thorough job on that. I think from our perspective, from our group, since it's asking us to consider consider ways in which the costs of these could be reduced, is to just get clarity from them on exactly what they're recommending, why they're recommending it, and which costs are they specifically referring to. It occurred to me that they're not even looking at what those costs are. They just looked at the number of registrations and then assumed, quite logically, that with a high number of registrations would come higher cost. But they didn't, they weren't very detailed in this. So this is one section. I think that if it's okay, if Greg and Ann have expressed an interest in this one, perhaps if we try to work on this one offline and then send it to the full group to see what we'd be happy with this section. And if anybody else as well, but I just figured since Greg had contributed to it. Okay, Ann is typing. So we'll proceed on that plan and send around some revised language for recommendation number 10. Okay, the next one is, I'm looking at the wrong document here. The next one is recommendation 14. This was really a comment from us or question for us to say it would be helpful if the CCTRT would clarify the reference of to its bylaws, 1.1C. And you had made a comment on the mailing list. If you look at the new language, does this address your comment, or would you like to see something else in there?
Yes, thanks, Jeff. It's Ann. I think it's a bit narrow to be talking only about 1.1C given that 1.1C has a huge carve-out for 1.1A, and it sort of, if we only mention 1.1C, it's as if we don't even, you know what 1.1A says. But the more I think about this issue, the more complicated it gets in terms of the recommendation, because when you talk about whether the string reflects the content, and in particular in relation to either trademarks or even geographic names, you get into some very thorny issues. I was thinking about this, you know, in the car. I mean, dot Apple, what's the connotation to consumers? So I do understand why we'd want to, you know, ask this sort of question, I guess. But I think the question is a bit rhetorical, because I think it's almost not like we're asking a question. It's like we're saying, where do you get off thinking you can make, you know, this kind of recommendation when actually that's a content regulation? And I don't think that's really the right way to pose a true question. The true question is whether this recommendation fits within 1.1A, which is ICANN's mission, which is the big carve-out of 1.1C. And so I really feel that if you're going to ask it as a question, it has to say, you know, consistent with 1.1A as provided in section 1.1C or something like that. If you really, and if you, you know, if you need to mention 1.1C because you think it's a content regulation, it's not clear unless you also mention 1.1A, which is the huge carve-out in 1.1C.
Thanks, Anne. And not sure who made this comment initially, but would it just be if we just took out the C and just said, is it consistent with Section 1.1 of the ICANN bylaws, would that be more helpful or would that be too broad? I'm not as familiar with the new bylaws as probably many of you are.
I think that's fine. I think that's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone, Cheryl Langdon Orr, agrees with that? So anyone disagree with that recommendation to just strike out the C and keep it as Section 1.1? Okay. Good. Let's do that then. Recommendation 33, and I'm jumping back to my own document here. This was one we talked about data for the trustworthiness of GTLDs. And so it was basically on collecting data from and comparing them to comparing TLDs with restrictions to GTLDs that do not have restrictions. And so our comment really is to understand which parts of this recommendation are aimed at which audience. So there were some recommendations that were for ICANN staff and some for the PDP and future CCT work, and we took out a large chunk with all the time frame stuff because it was moved to the beginning in the high-level overview. So Emily notes on the record, I guess this was for the past one, that it was Christina Rosette that asked about the addition recommendation 14. So perhaps if we can, Emily, offline, can we make sure that we include, that we send a note to Christina and just say this is what we're changing it to and see if she's okay with that? Okay, Emily's going to do that. Sorry. Back to recommendation 33. So we've really just, for recommendation 33, took out a bunch that we just moved up. Really the only change on that one. The next one, I'm going to just go ahead because I don't see any comments. Recommendation 34, pretty much the same thing. So we crossed out a big section and then added, or actually there's a comment from Christina Rosette, which basically says, members of the working group noted that it is unclear how the PDP could implement this recommendation, given that the working group is only chartered to look at policy for the next round of new GTLDs, after which its work will conclude. It will be helpful for the CCT review team to clarify how they would expect a PDP working group to address this recommendation. Christina says that maybe this should go as part of the overarching high-level comments as well. Anyone have any thoughts on that? Okay, so if we did that for, I'm just looking at 33, does that make sense if we put that comment in for 33 as well? Or actually include that in the high level, include that in the high level overview. Emily, Steve, thoughts on that? I haven't really considered that one, but if it does apply to many others, it might make sense to add that to the high-level overview. Okay, we'll take a look at that, and we'll look. If it's only in these two, we might just keep it here. But if it's if it's true for the other ones or for some other ones, we might put that in the high-level overview. Okay, recommendation 35. I think this one we just eliminated most of it because it's in the high-level overview, and all we say here is, just a reference to that section to understand what's aimed at which group. The next comments I see, sorry, I'm just trying to jump back and forth, are on section 38, is it? Let me just see. Double check that. Yes, recommendation 38. On recommendation 38, we added this recommendation refers to a stating the goals of voluntary picks up because it was hard for the CCT review team to evaluate the picks and what their impact is on trustworthiness when the goals for those picks were never stated up front. And so what we say, our comment is, the wording appears to presume that picks will be available early enough so the GAC and other people can comment on them. To the extent that this recommendation is included in the final report, it will be helpful to understand if the CCT review team anticipates that picks can be modified from how they are presented at the time of application, or if new picks can be added as a result of comments or GAC advice. GAC early warnings received. If not, please provide additional details about what the CCT review team is expecting in terms of policy. So, from my own perspective, I'll offer a comment that I am not sure if we should be asking the CCT review team questions about what it thinks the policy should be. So I'm a little uncomfortable with this whole part of the second part of the comment about whether it could be modified or whether, the set of processes. I think their main point is that, before when picks are made, there should be some understanding of why they're being made, so that it could be evaluated at some later time. So curious what others think about this. I'm not very comfortable with putting anything in this section or in any document going back to the CCT review team that's asking it to provide what it's expecting in terms of policy. Robin said, I agree. Jim said, that's a good point. Okay, so that's my recommendation. Doesn't seem like anyone disagrees, but we will make sure we send that out to the full group to see if there's some agreement. Sorry, Ann, you have your hand up. Great, thanks. Ann, please.
Sorry, it's Ann again. I agree with you about the speculation on policy and that that's not necessarily appropriate here. But I'm not sure why we say that the wording appears to presume that the PICs will be available early enough so the GAC and other people can comment on them. Because an applicant remains an applicant until the TLD is awarded. So as we know, you know, in the first round, a lot of PICs came in after GAC advice. And this seems to be as to comment about when you submit a PIC, state your goals. And I think in the last call, both John and Nevin and I were pointing out that applicants should be allowed to submit PICs to meet, you know, GAC advice or and that was why this red language came in. I think what I question here in our draft comment is the assumption that we're saying that this recommendation assumes that PICs will be available early enough so the GAC and other people can comment on them. I don't think the recommendation necessarily has to do with the timing of everything. It's just stating that whenever you submit a PIC, state the goals of the voluntary PIC.
Yeah, thanks, Ann. And I agree with you. I think the timing is much more related to the next recommendation, 39. So my thoughts on this one would be to just delete that entire paragraph that's in gold and then purple. But then we could talk about recommendation 39 to see if, because that talks about when PICs are submitted, and it really just makes the point that, you know, when PICs are submitted, they should be sufficient opportunity for others to comment on it. And so I think if we took it out of here and then talked about it more in terms of recommendation 39, that might help. But, Greg, your hand's raised, so please.
Thanks. I'm generally in agreement with what you're saying. It even seems that the comment on recommendation 36 or 38, rather, is misplaced and should have come after 39 because 38 only speaks about stating the goals so that their effectiveness can be evaluated after they've been in place for a while. This kind of goes to the whole emphasis on data and metrics and being able to actually, and measurability generally, and trying to understand what the heck is going on even more generally. The blue and purple, or the gold and purple language, you know, seems to be completely orthogonal. It's almost it's non-responsive to 38 and should probably just be ported over to the end of 39 where it should be. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Greg. So let's do that. Let's talk about recommendation 39. So in recommendation 38, we're just going to take out that new part. Of course, I think it was Alan that raised the question, so let's make sure we pointed out to Alan that that we're going to move. Well, let's see what we're going to do with recommendation 39 and see if it's appropriate there. So recommendation 39, as Greg was saying, talks about all voluntary picks should be submitted during the application process such that there is sufficient opportunity for government advisory committee review and time to meet the deadlines for community and limited public interest objections. So on this one, the comments we have that were changed is basically changed, you know, asking the CCTRT to change, to reword the recommendation because it's assuming that PICs, public interest commitments, are the terminology and things we will use going forward, which we have not yet addressed that as to whether it will be. So it's changing the wording to all voluntary commitments made by an applicant should be submitted during the application process such that there is sufficient opportunity for community review and time to meet the deadlines for community and limited public interest objections. So if we added that other paragraph, would that make sense? So the other paragraph from 38 would then say the wording appears to presume that PICs will be available early enough so the GAC and other people can comment on them. To the extent that this recommendation is included in the final report, it would be helpful to understand if the CCT review team anticipates that PICs can be modified and so on. Again, I would also point out that even by adding it to the other section, we shouldn't ask them their view on the policy, but perhaps state as a, you know, one thing we're considering is whether there should be a, trying to think of how to word this on the fly, but basically, you know, one thing the working group is considering is whether PICs or is whether commitments can be modified at the time of application or as a result of GAC advice. How would this fit within your recommendation? Perhaps something like that. Would that make sense? So just to repeat, is basically adding a sentence to recommendation 39, basically saying the working group is considering a process to respond, or sorry, let me restate that. The working group is considering a process to modify commitments made at the time of application. How would this fit within the CCTRT recommendation? I'm just reading the notes. So Anne says that would be good. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? I know it's late for some. For others, it's early. Okay, sounds like there's no objection. Someone want to speak?
Yeah, it's Anne. I have my hand up.
Please, Anne, go ahead.
Your first reformulation was better than the second one. You had some language you read out to change it, and that sounded good, and that's why I put agree in the chat or in the Adobe. But then you changed it, and what staff wrote down is different and is not as good from your second formulation about modifying applications at the time of consideration. I would tend to stick with the language that we had, but just talk about it in terms of what SubPro is considering, whether PICs can be modified from the way they're presented at the time of the application, or if new PICs can be added as a result of comments or GAC advice, GAC early warnings received, period.
Okay, thanks, Anne, because I couldn't remember what I said first. So, but, yeah, we'll listen to this part of the recording and make sure that it's worded the way that it was initially stated. So the staff is doing a fantastic job trying to capture everything with the quick notes, but they're, you know, we'll listen to this part again and make sure we get it right. Greg.
Thanks. Greg Chatton for the record again. And this comment may reflect the lateness of the hour, but I just have to say how much I dislike the term voluntary, whether it's in front of commitments or PICs. I don't know if we want to address that in this comment, but I think that if we're going to say that, you know, don't call them PICs, we can also say don't call them voluntary. I mean, I think they are perhaps registry-specific, maybe a better, or applicant-specific maybe a better term, because they're not voluntary once they're commitments. They may be non-uniform, but it's not that the other ones are involuntary, unless we want to get into the issue of whether the registry agreement is a contract of adhesion or not, and I hope we don't want to get into that, especially now. But voluntary makes it sound like it can be, you can take it or leave it. The fact is that once you volunteer to make it a commitment, it's no longer voluntary. And I would just love us to get away from the term voluntary. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And I think I may have put that language in, and the only intent of putting the word voluntary in there was just to make it different than the other commitments that are made in the agreement, which are part of every agreement. So perhaps your registry specific or some other term, but I agree with you that once the commitments are made, that you know, if they're incorporated to the agreement, that they're no longer, quote, voluntary. So we can make a note to look at that word. But again, it was just some way to try to distinguish between those commitments made initially by the registry as opposed to commitments that are forced upon them by ICANN or the application process. Does that make sense, Greg?
Respond.
Does that make sense, Greg?
Yeah, just briefly, it's not your nomenclature. This was used, obviously, during the whole first round, and it's just stuck in my craw every time I hear it because it makes it sound like you can walk away from it at any time, just like all of us so-called volunteers, or at least theoretically, can walk away from it at any time because what we do is voluntary. We have no commitment. We have no contract. It's voluntary. Fact is, once you've signed up to it, it's mandatory. And the issue of whether, you know, things are forced on registries, that's a whole different kettle of fish. I don't want to get on either side of that question, especially at midnight. But I just think that if we're exploring whether PICs are PICs or something, whether, let's also at least acknowledge that we're not going to call them voluntary as well, because continuing to dig the hole of using the word voluntary is something I'd just like to stop. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Greg. We'll take a look at this and see if there's something else we can, or a different way to word it. But I think the concept is, I think you're okay with the concept that we're pursuing. It's just terminology that we can improve. And I have to also say that I'm definitely loving the chat that's going on. So for those of you that it's quite entertaining. Okay, going on to recommendation 43, we have added, this is a section that states essentially that we need to establish clear, measurable goals for the Global South, and also define the Global South. So at the end of the comments, we added a sentence that basically says it would be helpful for the CCT review team to clarify if it is recommend if it's recommending that applications from the Global South, as ultimately defined, should be subject to a different application evaluations to different, let me say it again, whether applications from the Global South should be subject to different application evaluation standards in order to meet any clear measurable goals for number of delegated strings set by the working group. Now, I'm not sure where this one came from. I'm trying to remember who made this one. But again, this almost seems to be asking the CCT review team for policy advice, and personally, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that, but I may just be misreading it. I think all they're saying is that the CCT review team had a tough time evaluating the programs that were put into place to assist the Global South because there was no goal that was, or there were no goals that were put in place to measure it against. But here, if we add this last sentence, we're basically saying, CCT review team, do you think there should be a different evaluation standard? I'm not sure. I think that's more of a decision or recommendation that we should be making as opposed to the CCTRT. Any thoughts on that one? This was recommended by Christina. I'm not sure. No, she's not on the phone right now. So perhaps I will – perhaps let's just highlight this section, and if we could just reflect my comments and then point it out to everyone to see if they're good with that. Okay, everyone's talkative this one, this meeting. 46, the only change we made from the last one was to in the last paragraph, it says it'd be useful for CCTRT to clarify its recommendation if this recommendation pertains only to the cost of applying for a new GTLD, additional post-application fees such as objection-related fees, or also applies to operating costs. That's just a clarification of their that's a clarification of their recommendation. Any questions, comments on that one? All right, seeing none, jumping to the next one, which is recommendation 47. I don't think there were any changes. 48, there were no changes. 49, there were no changes other than punctuation. And 50, there are no changes. Did I miss anything? I can't staff. Did I skip anything that I should not have skipped? Okay. Steve and Emily are typing. Okay. So I think we've covered it all. What I would propose is that we put out these notes and the final, or I'll put quote final response out for as soon as we can, hopefully by tomorrow, and then leave it out till I would say next. So tomorrow's May 2nd or 3rd, depending on where you are. So why don't we put it out then, and then give a week to May 10th for really final comments, and then send it in after the 10th, if that makes sense for everyone. Seeing check marks from Cheryl Langdon Orr. Great. So thank you. That's what we will do. And then I know we have a few more check marks. That's great. We technically have 90 minutes scheduled for this, so we technically have another half hour. But that said, I just want to make sure that everyone has seen the drafting team the calls for drafting team participation, or who's on those drafting teams, and to actually make sure that they are contributing, because these are some important overarching issues that we need to make some progress on. I know I've made it my own personal commitment to go in there and to those documents and provide my own comments. So please take a look at those. ICANN staff, if you could post those links again with the notes that go out, not necessarily now, but those are the drafting teams on, you know, what model we should use, whether it's completely first come, first serve, whether it's rounds like we had for 2012, or whether there's some hybrid in between, which is what we discussed as potentially recommending, which would be some predictable application windows, but without a long period in between for, you know, endless reviews and endless reviews, and so that it's predictable time periods for new applications to come in. And Steve has just posted the wiki pages, so thank you, Steve. Is there anything else, Steve, I should cover on the drafting teams? Steve says, each team has a page with their own Google Doc, and there's also a page for membership. So please remember to sign up as well as to contribute. Okay. Is there any other business that anyone would like to add? Okay. Hearing none, just a reminder that next week there will be no meetings. There will be no work team meetings. So there's no work team meetings of 1 and 2 until the following week, none next week. So please do not get confused and show up for a call, because many of us will be at the GDD. So I wish everyone safe travels to that, or have fun in remote participation. And I just personally want to thank everyone for showing up at this late hour for some or early hour for others. Really appreciate it, and I definitely appreciate all the work that everyone is doing, including the rest of the leadership team who put so much time and effort into all of this. So thank you, everyone, and I will talk to many of you on Work Track 3 call a little later on May 2nd. That's tomorrow for some people and later today for a lot of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop our recording and disconnect all remaining lines.